Praise God. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Banasifiwe.
Amen.
We are in the house of the Lord. We are not in the graveyard.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We are where our Father wants us to be. We are in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is here.
Amen.
The angels of the Lord are here.
Yes.
If you have a need, he's going to send Angel Gabriel. And if there is any blockage in the heavens, he's going to send a John Michael to take care of business.
Yeah.
So we are here to rejoice in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Yeah, let us be happy. Let us be joyful in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
Did people know that we have ministers in Susie?
Yeah.
Did people know that we have ministers in Lawn who ushered by the door?
Yeah.
Did we know? We don't even know where the Lord is taking us. This is the beginning.
Yeah.
We are entering a new generation.
Yes.
And we should tell when we see it in the natural.
Yes.
They never had the type of Obamas that they have today.
Yes.
And now, tomorrow, we are no longer going to have a 90-year-old president in Kenya.
Yes.
We are going to have a new generation president. Hallelujah. Therefore, in this house today, we are moving with the move of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I have a name. I just remembered. Oh, my name is Rosalind Mogo. Mr. Mogo, where are you? Thank you, dear. Thank you, dear. Thank you, dear. I am a woman surrendered to authority. That is the authority in my house. He is the priest over my life. If he say don't go to church, I don't go. Hallelujah. If he say go to church, don't go to work, that's what I do. Because I don't know what they talked with God in the night. Okay? In this house, we have our pastor, Pastor Tony. I'm surrendered to the authority of the church.
Yes.
Amen? And therefore, I know how to handle authority because I'm a surrendered person who knows how to handle authority because I am surrendered to authority. I have no problem with that. But there is a time I didn't know that. There is a time when Jesus was not in me. When Jesus was not in me, I had odd things. And when I heard odd things, things heard odd me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm saying? When you heard odd things by your own little human strength, do you know what happens? Things heard you real good. Things heard you real good. But let us thank God that in this house, we have God. And in God, there is a government. The government of God orders that we be surrendered under his authority. In every gathering, there is always God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and then there comes the human authority, the pastor, the bishop, the apostle. Like where I come from in Kenya, we have a pastor, then we move all the way down. And we know even here it's going to start now moving in all those areas because today we are dealing with authority.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And now, because this is the Youth Sunday, if I speak English that you don't understand, prevail with me. If I put a nail where they're supposed to be, prevail with me. Don't worry, you will get there, and I will get there one day, okay? If we come here and we weep, don't laugh at us. Don't laugh at us, because by the time we are finished, you will be weeping for joy. Amen? You will be weeping in your deliverance. Amen? Amen. So we want to recognize that today it is the Youth Sunday, and when we were preparing, they said, okay, we're going to handle everything, but we want one of the teachers to be the one to give the word. And I said, I will do it.
Amen.
I told them, I've never stood there before. You people are witness to that. You'd better pray for me, but I will do it. So here I am. But tomorrow, because today I am doing the position of Deborah for the youth. Today I am doing the position of Deborah for the youth.
Yes.
When you see the youth here tomorrow doing deliverance and doing everything that the church has given them anointing to do, don't be surprised. Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. Because there is a time when there was a Deborah as judge over Israel. And when Deborah was judge over Israel, she was still the prophetess. And the Lord told her, go and tell Balak to move on and go and fight the enemy. The enemy of Israel at that time was so famous of even buying other more powerful men to come and fight for them. They had even bought and employed a man called Sisera. And when Balak knew that God is telling him to go and fight Sisera, he said, Mama, unless I go with you like this in the army, with you like this, heart to heart, I'm not going. And therefore, Deborah said, I will go with you to the army, but the Lord will deliver the enemy to a woman. And we know the end of the story that actually Sisera, the battle became so hot. The moon, the stars in heaven turned and fought against the enemies of Israel. And eventually Sisera ran away and had to hide in a tent of a woman. And he was slain by that little woman in her tent. So today, we don't know the giants that we are going to slay. But one thing I know, by the time we leave this place, nobody should be telling us that there's a giant in their life that is too hard for them to handle. Hallelujah. So let us go with me to the word of God in the book of Numbers 13. And I believe everybody has a Bible. Everybody has a Bible. If we forgot it today, we're going to have a Bible next Sunday. Usually at the back of the church, there are some Bibles that are left there if you don't have a Bible. Numbers 13. Youth, Numbers 13. I can see Bibles under your feet. Numbers is in the New Testament. Is it? Is it? Oh, you are awake. Numbers is in the Old Testament. Numbers is in the New, in the Old Testament, chapter 13. When we are there, we can show a sign that we are there. Are we there?
Yes.
Are we there?
Yes.
Sister Purity, come on, mother of the youth, come and read this for us. Come on. You can give this mother a clap as she comes.
One, two.
Chapter 13.
Mm-hmm. I want you to go all the way up right there.
Okay. All right. Numbers 13, verse 1 to the end. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. These are their names. From the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, son of Zachar. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, son of Hori. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, son of Joseph. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, son of Nan. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, son of Raphu. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, son of Sodi. From the tribe of Manasseh, a tribe of Joseph, Gadi, son of Sasi. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, son of Gemalil. From the tribe of Asher, Sethu, son of Mikael. From the tribe of Naphtali, Nachbi, son of Voshi. From the tribe of Gad, Geuel, son of Maki. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Libo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came up to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There, they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account: "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. Then they said, "The land we explored devours those who live in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes, and we looked the same to them." Chapter 14. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept around. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt, or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they say to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them."
Amen. Thank you so much, sister.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We are not looking at a prophetic word. What we are looking at here is what happened. This is what happened. You know, like the way somebody can come here today and write a story of how they found it happening in ECC today. This is a historical report. When the children of Israel were delivered by God from Egypt, they came into the desert area whereby they were now on their way to go and enter the promised land. So they are not in Egypt, neither have they entered the promised land. They are in between. And as they are in between, Moses, the man of God, full of wisdom, decided, before we go in there, we need to know what we are getting into. We need to know how to strategize our fight, because we will go and fight. What kind of people are we going to fight there? And when we go there, how are we going to approach? Is it a lowland? Is it a land full of forest? Is it a mountain kind of land? And when we go there, what type of people are we going to find waiting for us? Are they careless people who live in little tents, you know, with no walls around them? Or are they people who are smart enough to have built a wall around their city? Hallelujah. On top of that, this land that we are going to, we know God told us that it flows with milk and honey. What fruits grow there? So that even by the time we enter that land, these people I am bringing into the land should know what to expect. They should start now thinking about what they're going to go and start farming, what they're going to go and start trading with. So he told the men that when you go, you need to bring us this report. Number one, when you go right north. Go up. And when you go up, go into the hill or mountain land. When you're on the mountain land, there's one strategy that now is going to be very easy for you. Because when you're up there, all you need to do is look around. And you can see everything. Where I am now is easy for me to see everybody. But if I am kind of low, I may not see everybody. So Moses told them to make sure that they go up the mountain so that when they are on the mountain, they can spy the whole land. They can see how these people live. They can see whether they live in tents. They can see whether they are in fortified cities. And on top of that, they can also know how to plan, how to attack, and how to pull out because they're going to be fighting in this land. The next thing they were supposed to do is check out the land. How is that land? Is it fertile? Is it a desert? What type of crops are growing there and trees? Can you even please go bring us some of the crops that you find ready on that land? And for sure, all these had a purpose so that when these people go back and attack the country, they will be ready for whatever the Lord has been telling them that the land is flowing with milk and honey. Okay. The spies went, and they were there for 40 days. They did the job, and they did a good job. And we are even told that there is two of them who came carrying a cluster of grapes that was so big that two men had to carry it on their shoulders. They hung it on a piece of wood. I'm imagining those are not the grapes I buy at Aldi. These are not the grapes I buy at Walmart. These are not the grapes I buy at Sprouts. These were huge. These were huge. I'm imagining even one of them we had to cut many people in it, just one little fruit. How could a cluster of fruits be carried by two grown-up men? Not little children like Joshua and one of the little children. It was huge. So this was a real good lad. Amen? It was a real good lad. Hallelujah. Okay, the people came and said, the land is good, milk and honey is flowing, the people are powerful. We saw giants there, we even saw Hittites, we saw Jebusites, we saw Ammon, they all live there. In fact, to give a good report, the Hittites and the Jebusites, they live on the hills. And the Canaanites live on the Mediterranean coast, and they also occupy the Jordan Valley. Are you starting to hear details? Are you hearing details now? Details are coming in that they saw very big giants. And the giants are living in the hills so they can chase you down real hard. And they also saw these other guys who live on the Mediterranean coast, and the others are also living on the Jordan Valley. So in other words, the spies are trying to put in a message that even if that land is so good, I don't know where we're going to start. Because if we start on the coast, these guys are there. We go through the Jordan Valley, they are there. We go up the hills, the giants are going to chase us out. Those are the 10 spies that gave this report in this manner. We have two spies that gave a different report. And as we read, we heard that these two spies, especially Caleb, because he's the one who was talking, Caleb said that the land is good. He said, we can take it. In fact, let us go immediately and take the land. Let us go immediately and take the land. But when Caleb and Joshua were speaking positively, the other 10 spies And we know 10 versus 2, the majority is the 10. The 10 spies raised up their voices. They also moved through the camp of the Israelites, and they told them, the giants are big. The giants are very big. In fact, we are like grasshoppers next to those giants. And on top of that, even the giants, they looked at us like we were grasshoppers. Hello? Did they talk to them? Did the giants say, you look like grasshoppers to us? Did the giants have a bigger God than the Israelites? This lad that had produced such a big cluster of grapes, the 10 spies said, hello, that lad you sent us to, it is even eating its people. It is devouring its people. Did somebody see the television this week in Florida where a bedroom in a house opened up and swallowed the person sleeping on the bed? Did somebody see that?
Yes.
Okay. These guys are trying to put a kind of message like that. That lad, if we go to eat, it will only open the mouth and we're going to be swallowed. Nobody will ever see us again. So what they're trying to do, they're trying to avoid to go for the fight. They don't want to fight. They're trying to say, even according to the way the word has gone, they are telling the community, if we go there, we are finished. We, the men, will go to battle. We will be swallowed by the ground. The giants will kill us. The Hittites will kill us. Then they will come and take our wives, and they will take our children and our property. We are not going there. Nobody is willing to go there. Now, these were the leaders of the community. These are the people who should say, let's go, and people go. These are the people who, when they speak, their word is like this Bible. Because these were the leaders of the community. So what happened is that the spies brought a bad report, and this bad report discouraged the people. The spies didn't want to fight. So when they discouraged the people, they put the spirit of fear in the people. And the people now didn't want to fight. The people didn't want to fight no more. They didn't want to fight because their leaders didn't want to fight. And therefore, today, we are going to look at what happens when we give a report. We are also going to look at when we open our eyes, what do we see? And when we see what we see, how do we interpret it? And how do we affect the generation? How do we affect our families? How do we affect the youth? How do we affect each other? So that we can then look at it and see what is happening in our lives. And maybe we may learn where we have derailed. Because when this thing happened, the word of God has told us that actually, they were wearing the whole night. The whole night they were wearing, and by morning, Moses and Aaron had to go and seek the face of the Lord. And when Moses and Aaron were seeking the face of the Lord, Joshua and Caleb were busy trying to encourage the community. But finally, if you go through this story, even the spies and the people were now saying, we are going to stone you, Caleb, and we are going to stone you, Joshua, because you are contradicting our report, because you are pretending you went to a different country that we didn't go to. You are pretending you are too powerful, you can kill a giant. You are pretending that you have more faith than us. In fact, you are pretending to be very spiritual. Does it mean you are the only one here who didn't see what we saw? Does it mean you are the only man who can go fight the giants? Hello? Is anybody identifying with that? Is anybody identifying with that? I'm not saying it is here in ECC. All I'm asking, since we came to this country, have we met giants? Huh? When we see the giants, what side of the spies are we on? Are we with the 10 or are we with the 2? Hello? Most of the times, the kind of things that I hear and the kind of things that go on in this country can tell you that we usually join the 10. Let's be honest. Let's be true. Huh? If somebody in Kenya asks you about America, what do you say? America. What do you say? There's no life in America. America? Do you know, even for me to pay my house, how many doubles I do? Are you trying to tell me you can even think of coming there? Huh? And our youth here, do you see this youth? In the morning, daddy or mommy will put them in the car and take them to school. If daddy and mommy is not doing it, the school bus will come and pick them. Is it true? Do we have an orange bus that passes around picking the kids? Ask these people how education is, and they're going to tell you the negative. They're going to tell you how hard it is. They're going to tell you the discouragements in the school. They're going to tell you all the negative things. But they don't know. They really don't know that elsewhere, there is a child who has never entered a bus. There is a time Brother Julius stood here and he gave a story of how he was going to his father and it was his first time also to enter a bus. Can we remember? Hello, let's be real. Let's be real. Our children can tell of their giants how the other children don't like them enough, how the teacher is not liking them enough, oh, the mathematics is so hard, oh, the homework is so much, oh, this and that and the other and the other. And the television time is too short. Mommy has even now put a lock in the television. We can't wash it, you know? They say all types of things. You just dare tell them to take the trash outside. That is a big giant. Huh? Tell them to do their own laundry and all they need to do is throw the clothes in, turn on the machine, and sit back. Wait until it's over then, pick the clothes out, put them in the dryer, turn the machine on. And all they will ever do is pick them out now and hang. They're gonna tell you about the giant. Hello? Hello? And many more that I'm not going to talk about because now we understand our giants. Yeah, there are some of us here who really know the giants of their situations so much that they have forgotten the God who brought them here. They have forgotten the keshas and the fastings, the 40-day fast. They have forgotten the 30-day fast. They have forgotten all the pastors who even poured the oil on them. They have forgotten all the mamas in the church who are praying and fasting with them for them to get the visa. But now that they are here, all they know is too hot in summer to go to work. Hello? The 6 o'clock shift? That one? And I have to work with those Akata? Huh? And the night shift? I have to miss my sleep? I cannot sleep in the night? Huh? And I have to do 2 jobs? Huh? And they tell you about their giants, not forgetting that these people will just get out of their house, get in the car, and drive to that job, and pray over it, and God will give them grace. And when they are done with this one, they can go and do another little job somewhere, or even sit with their computer and do another little job somewhere. And that's it. And a check comes in the end of the week. Whoever worked in Kenya, how many days did we wait for the check? How big was the check? Poquito. Yeah? My first check, I remember, was 600 and something. Kenya shilling. Huh? And I worked on that job for many years until I was able to go to school and move on with life. But even today, the job that I left Kenya, and it was an executive job, if I work 2 days here, I have gotten the salary for the whole month. So we are looking at the things that we are allowing to discourage us. We are looking at the things that we are considering to be so big that we cannot go in and take our land. Because these people looked at things, but they didn't look at their God. These people forgot that God in Egypt had even to slay every firstborn of the Egyptian. These people even forgot that God had to bar the fellow and the horse and the rider in the sea. These people forgot that before they left Egypt, they plundered Egypt. In fact, because they had lived like slaves, before they left, the night before they left, they were given favor to carry all the wealth of Egypt, to make sure that Egypt is bankrupt forever, for many, many days to come. That even today in Egypt, very few people eat bread. Go and Google in the computer, tell me how much a doctor gets. Go and Google. Yeah, if you want to know, go and Google. Everybody here has a computer. Tell me how life is in Egypt. And then you will know up to today they are still plundered. Yes, by the Israelites. These same ones who are here speaking evil of where they are being taken by the Lord. Hello? As a result of the rebellion that the children of Israel did against the Lord was very unhappy with them. He was even ready to kill them. Malisa kabisa. And create a new one. After all, he is the God who creates. He can create another one. He can finish you and create another one. I mean, he is God. He is God. When he created a man, the store of all your organs is still there. It was not closed. Hiya. The factory was not closed. If you think it was, they put a lock on it. No. If you want to know, when we pray for somebody and a miracle happens, where do you think we get the spares to put in that person? Hello? Hello? You thought that you're so important you can speak against God, and God will look at you and say, oh, it's only my child. I don't have another one. I can't make another one. God can decide to make a new one and finish the one that is before them speaking against him. Yes. So let us be careful. Let us be careful. This generation that rebelled against the Lord banished them out of the promised land. He said, these people will not enter my promised land. Had it not been for Moses and Aaron, they could have died that day. The next thing that happened is they went to spy the land for 40 days. The Lord said, for every day that you went out, you are going to wander in the wilderness for a year. So 40 days became 40 years of wandering in the desert. And they were ordered right back, face Egypt, and start wandering in the wilderness. Hello? And they wandered in the wilderness. And the Lord said, of all this generation, it is only Caleb and Joshua who will enter the promised land, because they honored me, because they spoke well of me. I imagine even they are the only two guys who carried that cluster of grapes. Because all those people, they could have brought every group of two men, they could have brought up something. Joshua and Caleb, for the good report, for believing the Lord, are the only two men who entered the promised land. And on top of that, because Caleb risked his life, when they wanted to stone him, he still stood for the Lord. God said that the very hill that he climbed, the very mountain he climbed, that one is his inheritance. When they are dividing all the other land, make sure that you don't appoint that one for another man. That one will be for Caleb, because he spoke well of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we are here. We are here in this world. We are real. Yeah? We are real. The 10 spies saw giants, and the 2 spies saw giants. Me, I don't know where your giant is, but you know where your giant is. I don't know who your giant is, but I know my giant. Hallelujah. Because you know your giant, and I know my giant, there's one thing I believe you know. You know whether you are in the wilderness for 40 years, or you know whether you are with Caleb and Joshua entering the promised land. Me, I don't know, but you know. You know, and your God knows. You know, and the devil knows. Hallelujah. We can pretend. Me, I may not know. My husband may not know. My pastor doesn't know. But I know, and the devil that I believed knows. The devil that I chose to believe instead of this Bible, instead of the God of this Bible, he knows. So, we are here today. We may be having pastor like Moses and Aaron lying on the floor, praying, fasting day and night for our problem. But our problem is not moving. It is not even going to move because we are in the desert fulfilling the 40 years. And you know, even if he fasts there until he dies, I am in the wilderness fulfilling it until I drop down dead. No fasting is going to get me out of it. No prayer of the man of God is going to get me out of it. Hello? But the man of God Caleb and the man of God Joshua are waiting for the 40 years when we all drop dead. They're going to take our children and they're going to move into the promised land. Are we together? Are we together? Yes. Okay. We are blessed. We are blessed. Because unlike the children of Israel, we are the children of God through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Hello? The Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. Hello? And that flesh was who? Jesus. We have Jesus Christ on our side today. He was sent to come and take us and bring us back to our Father. Whether we are saved or we are not saved, we have that advantage that Jesus is in the world today. He is bringing every man and every woman who want to go back to God, to God. And on top of that, today, we have a choice. We can decide to go wander in the wilderness for 40 years and drop down dead. We can decide we are going to be in the Joshua Caleb generation. We can decide that we are going to use the anointing of the 10 spies and go complaining for 40 years and die down there in the wilderness. Or we can pick the anointing of Caleb. And with the anointing of Caleb, we can wait for the 40 years and go into the promised land. And when we get into the promised land, which we can do right now today if we want to, then we can go get our mountains. So today, this is my question. Do you want to turn your wilderness situation around? I want an answer. Do we all have wilderness situations in our lives? Yes. If you don't have it, put your hand up. Then we can just say amen for you. You go, you leave us in here. We all have wilderness situations. Nobody put their hands up. Okay. Do you want to exchange your enemy report, the one that you believed in, the one that put you in the situation you are in, with the report of the Lord? Is there anybody who doesn't want that? Okay, we are together. We are together. Nobody seems to not have a wilderness. We all have wildernesses. And on top of having wildernesses, we all want to get out of it. There is somebody whose life has a problem that They have tried and it is not moving. The problem has reached a point whereby it is now pulling him down, pulling his family down. It is pulling the, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody has a situation in their life. And this is the wilderness that we are talking about. And this is the wilderness of the children of Israel. And the thing is, there is a time when that wilderness was not there. But there is a thing that we did. There is a report that we listened to. There is a thing we looked at and we made it big, bigger than our God. We decided this giant is so big. And because it is so big, I'd rather believe the report of the enemy and stop fighting. And when we stopped fighting, instead of seeing God moving with us, now we are in a wilderness situation. You try everything, nothing moves. You go to school, get a degree, nothing moves. You move from California to Dallas, it doesn't move. You move from Dallas, now you want to go to, I don't know where you have had the jobs are there, maybe Boston. But when you go there, it's not working. It's just not working. Hello? Some of us have been waiting for things to happen. Things are about to happen. But do you know, even when things happen, unless we change our this, ubongo, unless we bring down the strongholds in our minds, unless we pull them down, unless we change our sunglasses that we look at things with, unless we put on glasses that see things the right way. Christians are very good. Wait until a problem appears. They put on their glasses. They look at it. They decide, this one I'm calling Sister Wanja because I pray with her. Not because I pray with her. I know when she calls God, God answers her. Yeah? Hello? We not only do that, we take the magnifying glass and we look at the problem. Who knows that if you look at something with a magnifying glass, what becomes of that thing? It will become a giant. It will be a giant because you are really making the thing big. So whatever you saw and magnified it or allowed it to turn your imagination and turn your faith upside down, that is where the problem is. And this is where we are going now to work on what how we look at things and start looking at things with the eyes of God. Okay? Whatever report you gave your ears to, if you listen to the 10 spies report and the problem entered your ears and it created anxiety, it created fear, it created even lack of faith, it created unbelief, and now the unbelief sitting in your heart, even if we pour anointing oil on you, it's not moving. Hello? And to them who are the 10 spies who like to magnify a problem and to turn people from God, let us know that the mouth is a prophetic organ that God put into man so that when man speaks to a situation, because we are made in the image and in the likeness of God, our words will speak life where there was death. Our mouth will turn a situation upside down. Our mouth will in fact put fear in the enemy. Our mouth will make the giant to take off. Our mouth will cause even the giant, even if it was a Goliath, to start taking off before you even swing a stone. Hello? When the servant of God, Caleb, spoke the word of the Lord, and when after that he was left and entered the land of promise, the word of God tells me that they fought and they possessed the land and they divided up the land for all the 12 tribes. Then he was 85 years old by then. He went to the man of God and he said, Joshua, do you remember when I and you were 40 years old? Do you remember when we were the youth? And we went to the promised land. and I climbed some mountains. And I came and gave a good report, and I stood with you. We gave a good report. We stood with our God. Do you remember those mountains? I am now going to possess my mountains. I have come for you to give me permission to go and attack. The word of God tells me that the giants that had remained on that mountain were even mightier than the other giants that the whole of Israel had slain. Caleb was told by Joshua, go ahead, go possess your mountains. And Caleb armed himself. And he announced to the men who were men, whoever wanna go and fight with me, I'll give him my daughter. And there's a man who said, that beautiful girl, I'd better die if I'm not going to marry this one. So they joined him and they went. And the word of God tells us that he fought the giants who are bigger than all these other giants around. And they killed him. And Joshua possessed the land. Hello, ladies. The girl who was married by that man who was slaying the giants with Caleb, the word of God tells me that her father gave her land. Hello, ladies? Because the word of God says that Caleb was to inherit the land with his generation, with his children. The girl got her land and got herself a good husband who could protect her. Hello, girls? Hello? I want a giant slayer. Hey, brothers, you want to be giant slayers and go inherit the land? The word of God tells me that when the girl looked at the land that her husband had been given or she had been given, she said, take me to my dad. So the husband took her to the dad. And the father looked at her and said, what do you want? He knew there is no way this girl came for nothing. What do you want? And the girl said, I want a land with waters. Where do you think I'll be getting water from? And because she had gotten the high heels, she was also given a land where there were wells. Hello? Hello? God is not done with you. Ask and you shall receive. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and overflowing. Yes. According unto your faith you will receive. Yes. And therefore today, I don't know how much time, Pastor, we have. Today, I am speaking to every one of us. And I am asking every one of us to consider their life. And I'm asking every one of us to look and see which wilderness they are in. And to check whether it is a giant they saw. And they saw the giant bigger than their God. I am asking that we also check our ears. Whether it is a story we listened to and it turned our faith upside down. Because today we are in the house of the Lord. And in the house of the Lord, we have the deliverer. The word of God tells me that Jesus became the curse on the cross. The word of God tells me that Jesus received a lot of stripes on his back and he even shed a lot of blood. And because of that blood, we are healed. It doesn't matter the sickness that one has. It even doesn't matter the problem that one has because that blood is able to heal a problem. Hallelujah. We shall overcome the enemy by the testimony of our mouth. And we shall overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. The blood is flowing even at this moment. At this moment, the blood is just waiting for you to speak the word. The blood is only waiting for you to repent. The blood is only waiting for you to recognize where you went wrong. And the blood is only waiting for you to renounce that which you took and you made it bigger than your God. In other words, the blood is waiting for you to renounce your idol. Hallelujah. And when we renounce our idols, our fears and our anxieties and our bad reports, then we can call upon the man who came into this world to turn us back to our Father. His name is Jesus. He went on the cross for us. He became that curse that has already become our wilderness for 40 years for us. And on top of that, he died and he rose up again. So there is the power of the Holy Ghost to even bring life in a dead situation in our lives. And on top of that, the Holy Ghost is able even to create afresh. If whatever you had is completely dead, if it is not even revivable, he can create afresh for you. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost of the living God, as I was reading the book of Acts over last month, he is the one who came upon the 120 disciples, and he is the one who caused an uproar in Jerusalem that, such that men and women came to check what is happening in that upper house. And that Holy Ghost, according to how I saw the story throughout until the end of Acts, in one day, Peter, who had denied Jesus and ran away, Peter spoke, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, 3,000 men got saved. Hallelujah. By the power of the Holy Ghost, the disciples could walk, and their shadows as they are walking could fall on sick people, on cripples on the street, and the cripples would receive their healing. By the power of the Holy Ghost, there is a boy who was sitting on a window in the night listening to Paul, and he fell asleep. And he fell down to the ground floor. And he died. But Paul just walked down there and spoke to death, and death left the boy, and the boy got up and went and sat proper. So we'd better be careful if we are sitting on the window sills of the word of God. Hallelujah. So today I am asking that if you know you have a wilderness, I know you may not want to come here because you don't want the youth to lay hands on you, but this is what I am saying. Joshua was a youth, Caleb was a youth, this is the youth service, and the anointing to make things new is here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And therefore we shall stand up on our feet. We shall stand up on our feet. We are taking 3 minutes. You know where your wilderness is. You know where your problem is. And I'm asking every one of us to repent of the thing that we have made bigger than our God. Whatever we have made bigger than Jehovah El Shaddai, whatever we have made bigger than Jehovah, the Almighty God, this is the time now to tell God, please God, please God, this is my problem. This is where I listened to the report of the enemy. Forgive me. And this is the time now that we can be doing that. So we will go ahead, everyone, with your problem. Let us tell God where our wilderness is, and let us tell God even now to forgive us of our sins. Hello? It's time for prayer. It's time for prayer. It's time for prayer. It's time to repent our sins. It is time for prayer. It is time to repent our sin. It is time to repent our fear. It is time to pull down even the idol that we have put in our hearts. This is the time now for prayer. This is the time to bring down that which we have made an idol bigger than Jehovah, the Almighty God. There is no God like Jehovah. Jehovah is the only God. He is the true and the Holy One of Israel. He is with us now as he was with Joshua. He is with us now as he was with Caleb. Whatever is your idol, this is the time to bring it down. Whatever is the report that you resent to, this is the time to even renounce and denounce whatever it is that you listened to and you made it to replace your blessings. After me, Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you understanding that I have listened to other reports. I have even looked at things with eyes that magnified the problem. The word of God tells me that you are the only God. Whenever I make something bigger than you, It has become the idol of my life. So my joblessness, my financial problems, my disease and sickness, my social problem, my government problem, you know what it is. You can mention it in your language. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce this sin now of listening to the enemy. I renounce fear. I renounce unbelief. I renounce idolatry. I idolized the problem. I made it my God. Forgive me, God, where I have operated in principles that are not of God, and I got messed up, and I was sent to the wilderness. Today, I am saying to you, Father, forgive me, Father, forgive me, Father. Wash me, O Lord, with the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus, cleanse me now. Blood of Jesus, cleanse me now. Blood of Jesus, cleanse me now. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are now standing before our Father. We are agreeing with his word that Jehovah alone is God. America is not God. Kenya is not God. Financial problems are not God. Sicknesses and diseases are not God. Marital problems are not God. And to the youth, daddy and mommy is not God. Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. Problems are not God. Finances are not God. Today, in the name of Jesus, the opinions of my friends and my age mates are not God. The only opinion that matters is the opinion of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, release your Holy Spirit anointing to break, to destroy forever whatever was an idol in my life. Destroy the yokes of the enemy. Destroy the yokes of the enemy. Destroy sicknesses and diseases. Destroy financial problems. Destroy social problems. Destroy marital problems. Destroy the impossibility problems. Destroy whatever is standing in my life against me. Whatever is a God in my life that makes me weep in the night, whatever is a God in my life that I give more attention than you, God, destroy it today by the anointing. Yes. Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as your servant anointed by the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus, I take authority over every sickness, be it a spiritual sickness, be it a marital sickness, be it a social sickness, be it a government issue sickness, be it even in business, be it in the work of my hands, be it whatever it is calling itself, be it in my children, be it academic, it doesn't matter whatever it is. But today I am taking authority over every problem that has been facing your people. And I am now declaring to the devil, I am declaring to the spirits that are behind these problems, Today I command you to be bound by the blood of Jesus. I command you to be destroyed by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I call for the fire of the Holy Ghost to destroy, to destroy, to destroy, to destroy, to destroy, to dissolve all the yokes, to dissolve all the spirits, to destroy all the problems that have been facing your people. I am declaring by the power of the Holy Ghost that today in Jesus' name, let every demon be destroyed. Let every demon that is sitting on the people of God, let every demon now be destroyed. Be destroyed, be destroyed by the anointing, by the fire of the Holy Ghost. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I say to you joblessness, I say to you financial insufficiency, I say to you problems in finances, I say to you problems in careers, I say to you problems in marriages. Be destroyed, be destroyed, be destroyed now, be destroyed now, be destroyed now by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, by the fire of the Holy Ghost, in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, I give you praise. 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 Father, I give you honor. Father, I magnify your holy name. There is no God like Jehovah. Jehovah is El Shaddai. Jehovah is El Shaddai. There is nothing too hard for you to do. And today, in the name of Jesus, I am declaring, Father, that to the people of God, receive your miracles. 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 In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, receive your miracles. Receive your miracles. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Holy Father, you are our Father. Holy Father, you are our Father. Lord Jesus, you are our King. And you are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. Holy Ghost, you are our Helper. You are our Comforter. And to you we bow. To you we bow. To you we bow. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. From today onwards, oh Father, we are now moving, even with the Caleb anointing, to slay, to destroy our giants. In the name of Jesus Christ, from today, we are possessing our mountains in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And from today, we shall be influencers of the world. We shall bring men and women to the Lord. We are not the ones to ashamed the kingdom of God, that when sinners look at us, instead of seeing our God, they even laugh at the salvation of the Lord. We repent of that sin today in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But Father, we bless you. We bless you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. We glorify your holy name. You are in our midst. You have never given your life to Jesus. And you want to be a giant slayer. You want to occupy your mountain. You want to take your inheritance. You don't want to die in the wilderness, but you want to walk with the children of God into the promised land. This is your chance. This is your chance. The Lord Jesus is ready. The Lord Jesus wants you. He has already done the work for you. The Holy Spirit is at work right now, showing you the way to the cross. So if you are here with us, this is the day. This is the day of your salvation. Raise up your hand, whatever you are, and we're going to be praying with you. We're going to be welcoming you into the kingdom of God, and we're going to be celebrating with you even as we walk this journey of salvation and possessing our land and our mountains. Are you there? Are you there? Brother, sister, are you there? Are we all saved? We are feeling good with the word? Is the word ministering to us? Are we moving out of the wilderness? Are we redirecting our steps back into the promised land? Are we possessing our mountains? Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the living God. I have given the word as it came to me. And I thank you for listening to God. And I pray that it will not stop working until it does the work that God has allowed it to come to you. Blessed be the name of the living God.
Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a hand clap. Yes, that was a good word. Amen. Yes, youth, I want you